is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for hanging out. The show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta. Our producer, Ryan Botcher, he's holding it down for us in New York City. Now, in the past hour, we've discussed a lot. The Cincinnati Bengals' willingness to trade Trey Hendrickson. I'll believe it when I see it. We got Matthew Stafford. He was back at work today. Bad back. Justin Jefferson from the Vikings. He was back at work today. Bad hammy. People are back to work. Yeah, it sucks when you're all busted up and you can't do your job. Last night, Buffalo Bills blown out 38-0 by the Chicago Bears. We got Bears fans who are happy about Tyson Bagent. They're like, oh, Caleb Williams, at least he didn't suck. Ohio State has a new quarterback in Julian Sain. He'll take on Arch Manning next week. That'll be fun to watch. Bill Belichick already chopping down his media availability with North Carolina. Did we expect anything different? And we got more to get into as the show continues on. In about 20 minutes, we're going to have a conversation with Patricia Traina. What are we going to discuss with her? Oh, well, the Giants, because they got a rookie quarterback, too. What can we expect from Jaxson Dart? Will we see Jaxson Dart get some starts this season for the New York Giants? We'll talk some Giants football, and is he going to be able to throw the ball to Malik Nabers? And we'll get into that. Isaiah Bond, he got a nice contract with the Browns. Quinshon Judkins, he does not. Rob Manfred had some ideas about baseball and alignment. We really going to do this? Zach Wheeler got a blood clot. We got people in rehab assignments throwing baseball bats at work. We got a lot to get into. And in an hour from now, we got the Bengals taking on Washington. No Hendrickson, no McLaurin. We'll see what they end up doing. Anyway, you want to be a part of the show, you can. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. It's that time of year, right? Everything is about a quarterback. Do I have a quarterback? Who's my starting quarterback? Browns today say that Joe Flacco is their starter. What a shock. What a surprise. Not really. Dylan Gabriel putting his foot in his mouth over the weekend. Colts are trying to figure out who their quarterback is. Quarterbacks are hurt. You got Jordan Love. He was back at practice today. Had a wrap on his left hand so nobody would screw up his hand. You got a Simmons is pushing around Cam Ward with the Tennessee Titans. Everything is about the quarterback. This is why all these quarterbacks get paid. All this money. The centerpieces of franchises and organizations. You don't got a quarterback, you ain't got nothing. But I guess for the Cleveland Browns, well, having a lot of these quarterbacks, five of them, we know Deshaun Watson ain't playing. They got so many damn QBs. Is this supposed to be an embarrassment of riches? I don't know about that. Over the weekend, we know Shador Sanders, he did not play. It's like he was taking steps forward. He looked good in that first preseason game. And he got hurt right before he was likely to get another shot and an opportunity. But Dylan Gabriel, he started this game against the Eagles, which the Browns won preseason, by the way, 22-13. Dylan Gabriel didn't have the same type of game coming off of that hamstring strain that Shador Sanders had. Dylan Gabriel over the weekend, 13 of 18 pass completions, 143 yards. He didn't score. He had a pick six and a fumble. It wasn't good for him. Of course, on the Eagles, they were pretty happy about it. Let's take a listen to Dylan Gabriel suck.
First and 10, ball on the Eagles 31, single setback. Play action. Gabriel rolls. He's looking. He fires, and it's intercepted on the far side of the field. It is picked off at the 50, the 40, the 30. It's Makuba all the way to the 10-5. Touchdown for the rookie.
Yeah, look at the shout-outs to the legend, Mel Reese with the Eagles Radio Network. Come on now. That's not what Shador did. He didn't throw no interceptions. He didn't turn the ball over. And so Dillon Gabriel, he was asked about this on the NFL Network. A matter of fact, he was asked, just in a general sense, how are you going out here and competing? How are you getting the job done with like 50 million quarterbacks on the roster? And you're hurt. Everybody's hurt. Kenny Pickett's hurt. Joe Flacco's old. You got Shedeur Sanders. He gets all the attention. How do you block all this out? Listen to what Dillon Gabriel said.
You gave us some fabulous wisdom on how you tune out the noise and you don't let it infiltrate yourself. Will you share that with everybody at home?
Yeah, I think it's just part of it. You know, there's entertainers and there's competitors, and I totally understand that. And my job is to compete, and that's what I'm focused on doing. Of course, we're doing this mid-game, but, you know, it's something that I'll get used to, and just want to be the best team that I can and create an environment where we can all go do our best work.
Man, he got beat up over the weekend for those comments, because it's like his comments got clipped. People took a look at just that one part. There's entertainers and then there's competitors. And the people took that and ran with it and didn't take the question into consideration. But welcome to the world of, I can't even say social media. It's a big part of it. But welcome to the world where people have attention spans of 10 and 15 seconds, where they just read a clip and that's all the hell they know. And who has the time of day to actually, I don't know, maybe Google or check out the full scope of what's taking place? Nobody does. And so people took that comment and said, oh, he must be talking about Shedeur Sanders. Oh, how do you do with it? Oh, well, I'm a competitor and Shedeur is an entertainer. I'm trying to play football and win. Shedeur Sanders is just trying to, you know, entertain the masses. Come on, man. Dillon Gabriel had a press conference and he was asked about his comments of entertainers. And I don't think he helped himself in the response. Listen to what he said.
All you in this room are entertainers and you have a job to do. And I respect it. Right. And I'm a competitor, so I have a job to do as well. And I think, you know, just understanding that, that's how I've lived by. And I've said that multiple times. So definitely not a new quote, but something that I've definitely said before.
Were you referring to media as the entertainer?
Yeah, I just said that. Yeah.
You know how social media is, I think some people are trying to take that as something that you probably didn't not mean it as. Some people are trying to make it out to be sort of a shot that should be working.
Yeah, first off, I'm all about our team, you know what I mean, and each other. I would never make that, and I've said it before, that's why it's interesting, but for me, I've explained it. Entertainers are you all, competitor. That's what I am, and all my teammates, and we both have jobs to do. So that's it.
Ooh, ouch, ouch. Is that how people view media? And that's kind of screwed up. That's kind of screwed up. Like, I'm not a journalist. I'm a broadcaster. I'm an entertainer. I ain't no journalist. Man, we got people who are busting their asses to cover these teams, whether it be the Browns or anybody else. They're showing up to work. They're writing stories. They're covering the teams. They're journalists. There's a difference between being a journalist and being a part of the media. I'm a member of the media. I'm not a journalist. I'm an entertainer. I'm a sports talk show host, broadcaster. That's what the hell I do. I don't think anybody who covers a team on the beat, someone who's just trying to disseminate information, I don't think that person, not everybody wants to be labeled as an entertainer. That's almost, I don't want to say demeaning for them. And so, A, to hear Dillon Gabriel just kind of say, oh, you guys in the media are all entertainers. No. Are there plenty of folks who are? Talking heads on television, here on the radio? Yes. But to paint the media with a broad brush of being entertainers is just, A, it's inaccurate. It's uninformed by Dillon Gabriel. And then it's not fair for the people who are legitimately just working to get information and to share it with the general public. Those are journalists, okay? I don't know. And that shows you the deterioration and how the lines have been blurred so much between people who like to yell and scream for entertainment's sake versus people who are actually out here doing the job. Well, journalists go to school. They learn. They have a code. There's ethics involved. And so Dylan Gabriel, that sucks for him. But the part that he also screwed up on is not providing clarity for his comments. It's that he was asked about one thing. How does he block out noise? He said, hey, all I did was answer a question about how I block out noise. People have a job to do when it comes to entertaining on TV and whatnot on the radio. And then there's people like us who are out here playing. And so he's learned his lesson. I'm sure the next time you hear from Dylan Gabriel, he will just shut the hell up. I guess he ain't going to be talking too much to the media anymore. And then when it comes down to the Browns and their quarterback competition, you know, somebody asked me today, shout outs to everybody up at Sportsnet in Cali. Not in Cali, Canada, excuse me. You know, I was asked today about this quarterback scenario. What do the Browns do? You know, they named Joe Flacco the starting quarterback. The guy's 40 years old. You still have Dylan Gabriel. You have Shador. You got Kenny Pickett. You got Deshaun Watson, who you have to pay. Who the hell are you running out there? Like, who is it? Who the hell are you running out there? Who is going to go out there and get the boot? Well, it would have to be Kenny Pickett, wouldn't it, huh? Like, if you think about the Browns, where are they going? Absolutely nowhere. And if you're trying to figure out who your future QB is, I think we know what Kenny Pickett is. He's average at best. He's somebody he's silly putty. He can clog and close a hole temporarily, but eventually he's not going to be there for the long haul. And so Kenny Pickett, man, they can vote him off the island. I know it sounds crazy to have a 40-year-old quarterback and two rookies behind him, but if you're the Browns and you've been through so much of the crap already over the past several years, can it be worse? You might as well hold on to Dylan Gabriel and Shador. See what their upside is, as opposed to keeping Kenny Pickett on the roster. You know, flip him for a piece that you would actually need on the rest of the team. Hey, good luck with your 40-year-old QB. The Browns, pretty hilarious. This is a team that will win absolutely nothing this year. But they're a great drama show. Hey, Dylan Gabriel, there is your entertainment. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Lane is calling from Myrtle Beach. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Lane?
Hey, JR, first-time caller, long-time listener. Really enjoy your takes on everything.
Thank you. What's up?
I'm the color analyst for the Coastal Carolina Chanticleer football team.
Nice.
And we played in Hawaii for the Hawaii Bowl back on December 23rd of 2023, and we beat the San Jose Spartans 24-14 in that ball game. So
okay.
It's a beautiful stadium. You can see the skyline of Honolulu in the background. Just a gorgeous venue.
They're ripping it down now. Was it worth it, you think, all things considered?
Well, we got the bowl win, so yeah, it was worth every penny of it. went out there for 5 days, got to do some deep sea fishing, and the beaches are gorgeous.
All right, good deal, Lane. Well, thank you so much. I know the new stadium, I think, is only going to be 25,000, 30,000 people. So they're downgrading, but I think why do you need something that big when you're in Hawaii? You want to look outside, right?
That's right. A lot of extra activities to do there besides football.
Yeah, most certainly. Hey, Lane, thank you for coming by and dropping that knowledge, okay?
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Shout outs to Lane from Myrtle Beach. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. David is here from Dallas. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, David.
Hey, JR. I'm sorry, but I got to agree with Dylan Gabriel when it comes to sports media. They aren't covering the economy. They aren't covering Medicare. They aren't covering crime. They're out here reporting if a guy's going to get a new contract or if who's going to be the quarterback. That's the entertainment. Sports and entertainment.
Yes, David, and thank you for calling from Dallas, but that also falls into the category of news, okay? Obviously. You know, David, what I want to tell you, go look up all the degrees and programs that journalists can apply to Go look up all the schools that people can go to learn how to be journalists. Sports happens to be a category. There are people in sports journalism who cover finance, who cover business. Not everybody is a beat reporter. And even the beat reporters, they have to go and learn. It's not botcher. That's news is news. It doesn't matter what category. Because it's sports and sports is entertainment doesn't mean that it's not a business and that there's people not covering it. That's just kind of nuts.
There's a lot of deeper stories, too, in sports, too. It's not just who won the game tonight. It's more of what is the tension behind the scenes? Are the owners selling? You see everything that went down in Washington. That's a big story. It's just there's so much more to journalism in sports than just reporting on a game that happens every night.
Or idiots who are just yelling and screaming. I think people have been so dumbed down just by the internet and content that you fit into what Dylan Gabriel said, which is a damn shame, is that this is just entertainment. No, it's not. It's the entertainment business. It makes a lot of money, but so does everything. There's politics involved in everything. And unfortunately, when it comes to reporting on anything in the world, that's called journalism. It could be in any category. Okay, it could be in cooking. It could be in sports. So don't get sucked into, just everything is entertainment. That's a broad brush. Don't fall into the trap. That's people getting caught in a TikTok era. Don't do that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We've talked about a lot of young quarterbacks, whether it's on the Browns and elsewhere. We're going to talk about a young team and with a young quarterback. What the heck are the Giants going to do with Jackson Dart? We're going to have that conversation next with Patricia Traynor, who covers all things Giants for Sports Illustrated. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So many conversations about rookie quarterbacks. Who's starting? Who's not starting? Who's going to get a chance? Who's getting an opportunity? It's not a lot of people nationally talking about the New York Giants. And I get it. This is a team last year. 3 games won. And 2 new veteran quarterbacks in, a rookie quarterback drafted, a GM and coach probably on a hot seat. This could be the start of a transition, a good one or a bad one. Joining us right now to talk about the Giants, what we've seen, what we can expect the rest of the way, is someone who covers a team for Sports Illustrated. Thank you so much for having us, or being here with us, I should say, Patricia Traynor. Patricia, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time to join us. I guess right out the gate, we've seen Jackson Dart. The Giants get him in the first round. They have Jameis. They have Russell Wilson. Jackson has looked good in his first starts. It is the preseason. Just looked good against the Jets as well. Are we really going to see him this season?
I think ideally, no, if the Giants have their way. But that being said, I would not be surprised if at some point Jackson Dart moves from quarterback 3 to quarterback 2, because you'd like to try and get him some real live reps. You got to remember, as good as he looked as in the preseason, teams haven't game planned against him. Some teams have held out their better, you know, players. Like, for example, the Jets were missing 3 of their top defenders up front. That's not to take away what Jackson Dart did. But the Giants don't want to rush this kid back out there. I mean, they made that mistake. Not this regime, but the previous regime made that mistake with Daniel Jones. We all know how that happened. You know, there's no harm in letting the kid sit. Patrick Mahomes sat. Jordan Love sat. If I'm not mistaken, I think Jalen the Hurts in Philadelphia sat for a little bit. So they want to just make sure that he is absolutely ready for when they do put him out there. And if it's later this year in a mop-up role, great. If it's later this year and he has to step in for Russell Wilson because he's hurt, then so be it. But there's no great rush to put him out there.
When you think about the construction of the Giants offensive line, that's going to have a big say in what happens with the quarterback. We know Russell Wilson doesn't move the same way that he used to. Jameis is more of a gunslinger back there. How is that offensive line going to dictate potentially what we see between Russell Wilson and then also Jameis?
Yeah, I think the big thing is more how the quarterbacks are going to dictate what we see from that offensive line. I just did a piece on that, actually. The quarterbacks get the ball out of their hands a lot faster, and that has helped make that offensive line look better. If you think about it, you know, with the exception of Andrew Thomas, who's been on PUP, it's basically been the same guys that started last year. And last year, they didn't look that bad. So you bring back Andrew Thomas at some point, and you throw in the fact that, you know, you've got quarterbacks from Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston who can make quick decisions, get the ball out of their hands, and get it to a receiver instead of, you know, just floating it out there. I think that's going to help make the offense a lot better.
Patricia Train is joining us, covers the New York Giants for Sports Illustrated. Well, we know a big key to the offense. We haven't seen a rookie season like this by wideout since Odell. Malik Nabers coming through 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns. And he's been dealing with this toe since college. Is that a cause for concern, or is that just like, hey, it's preseason, let's chill out a little bit?
For me, it's a cause of concern. The fact that he sat out all of the spring, the fact that, you know, now he is sitting out again, and I know he, you know, it's been reported that he has a sore back, but I think it's the toe. I mean, look, they don't want to put unnecessary pounding on that foot. And they felt that, okay, if we rest him, maybe it'll be okay. Maybe we'll be able to get him through the season. But I, you know, look, he's a guy who once the season starts, you're going to have him out there as much as you can. So he's right. That foot's going to take a pounding. They're going to have to manage his reps. And who knows, you know, hopefully they get him through the season, but who knows if they'll be able to.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a bad thing if Malik Nabers is not out there. Because when you think about some of the other offensive weapons, like, who's the next guy that you can depend on? I know Slayton is there, but nobody really knocks your socks off.
Yeah, I mean, they have guys they can throw to, but you're right. There's nobody at Malik Nabers' caliber in there. And, you know, we kind of saw it in the summertime when Malik Nabers was out there. The offense just had a different type of swagger, a different kind of feel when he was out there. And when he hasn't been out there, I don't want to say it's a pedestrian because that would be, you know, selling the guy short, but they're just missing something when he is not out there. So hopefully, like I said, they can get him through the year without that toe, you know, finally putting him on the, you know, the IR list.
Well, Patricia, one thing that you could definitely look at as a strength is that the defensive line, especially bringing on somebody like Abdul Carter. You already have one of the best interior defenders in the entire NFL in Dexter Lawrence. What can we expect from Abdul Carter based on what we've seen in addition to that entire defense? And even mentioned Brian Burns.
Yeah, I mean, the pass rush is going to be really, really exciting. I mean, Abdul Carter is lightning quick off the ball. I don't know if you guys remember OCU Manura, who had that first quick step.
Yeah.
And he was in the backfield, you know, before the offensive lineman could get out of their stance. Abdul Carter has a fast step like that. And he's going to be a terror. He's got a mean dip move that he uses on guys. I've seen him use a spin move. So for a young guy, he's got a very sophisticated and developed pass rush toolbox, which is good to see. You know, Brian Burns, he's versatile enough to, you know, if you want to move him around a little bit. And he's coming off a pretty solid first year with the Giants. Kayvon Thibodeaux, throw him into the mix. The concern, I guess, with the pass rush is, how often are they going to have that opportunity to really just go all out? Because it starts with stopping the run. And I think if you're going to look at one big question mark that exists on this team, can they stop the run? And so far in preseason, it's been hit and miss, mostly miss with stopping the run. They're still giving up big chunks of plays in the two preseason games, one of which against the Jets, I think it was a 3rd and 8, and they gave up a 10-plus yard run. So they got to get that taken care of. And then if they can do that and force, you know, pass rushing situations, a pass rush is just going to be beautiful to watch.
Well, Patricia, when you think about the expectation, there's so many question marks on the offense, as you mentioned, just on the defense as well. We know Joe Shane got ripped to shreds last year for their offseason, which was documented on HBO. You got Daboll. People are expecting results. They're obviously still in a transition. Are they on a hot seat? If they win another 3 games, they're getting a boot. But what do you think happens with these two? Are they going to get like a longer leash?
I think so. I mean, look, Joshin put together probably the most competitive roster he has put together in the now four off seasons that he's been with the Giants. So, you know, he did his part. And a lot of these guys that he brought in look promising enough. So now it is up to Dable to just kind of put the roster together, you know, whittle it down to 53 men and get the most out of these guys. And I think what's going to help both of them, to be honest with you, is the fact that they do have a rookie quarterback. You know, it would be a mistake. I mean, again, I go back to the Daniel Jones situation. They went and they drafted Daniel Jones, and then what happened? They fired the, you know, the head coach who wanted him, and it just became a mess. So I don't think they want to repeat that history.
A final question for you, Patricia. Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Jackson Dart, Tommy DeVito, which I assume Tommy will maybe end up on the practice squad if he wants to go somewhere else. I have no idea. Are we going to have at least three of these guys on the roster throughout the entire season? Is Russell Wilson going to make it the whole year? Is Jameis going to make it the whole year? We know Jackson isn't going anywhere. What about the vets?
I do think the plan is to have Russell play the whole year. Whether his health holds up, that remains to be seen. Nobody can really predict injuries. I think Jameis will be here. You know, it's interesting. I've seen some people say, oh, the Giants should trade him to Tennessee because they need a backup there, or they should trade him to, you know, to Cleveland because they need a backup there, or to New Orleans because they need a backup. Well, why can't Jameis just stay here as a backup for the time being, at least until Jackson Dart is ready? And remember, the trade deadline isn't until what? The end of October, beginning of November? So what is the rush to trade him? You can trade him, you know, if everything goes according to plan and Jackson Dart moves into that quarterback two spot, like I think will be the case, and you want to trade Jameis, you know, at the trade deadline, maybe you get a little bit more for him because maybe at that point teams will have injuries or, you know, their quarterback situations won't be looking as good as they are right now.
And Tommy DeVito, he just stays at home with his mom until he gets another team, right?
Well, yeah, I don't think they're going to get Tommy DeVito onto the practice squad. I think they would like to try, but I don't know that that's going to happen. I could see another team picking up Tommy. You know, it's a shame. You know, he gave us all a nice story while he's been here, and, you know, a good guy. So wherever he ends up going, if it's not here, I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we all can't stay home the whole time. So all the best to Tommy. Hey, Patricia, thank you so much for your time and your expertise. It was a pleasure. Please tell everybody where they can follow you and all of your work.
Yeah, so you can find me on the Locked On Giants podcast, which is on YouTube. I host that 5 days a week. And also you can find my written work on New York Giants on SI.com, which is the Giants site. And you can follow me on social media on X, Patricia _ Traina, TRAINA.
Hey, Patricia, it's going to be fun covering these Giants, a lot of storylines. So we'll catch you down the line, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, thank you so much to Patricia Traina. Make sure you go ahead and check her out everywhere, all of her work online. The Giants are certainly going to be an interesting storyline. And from the acquisitions of Russell Wilson and Jameis and drafting a QB and Jackson Dart, and then you still got Tommy DeVito who exists. And, yeah, Tommy DeVito is going to be elsewhere. I don't know where he's going to be a backup, but he's going to be a backup somewhere. Probably the New York Jets will stash him in the back somewhere just so he can stay home. Marco, he's never leaving New Jersey, right? Never?
No. Did he move out of his parents' house yet? I don't know.
I don't think so, right? He's never leaving.
I don't know. Tommy Cutlett seems to be happy.
He's like, how far do I got to drive to Jersey? He's like, I'll do it. He's like, I'll do it.
Well, that's the thing. He's only like, what, 15 minutes away from work? That's impressive if you can get that.
Yeah. Tommy DeVito's had it good. We haven't heard from his agent recently, so, you know.
That's true.
Batra, where's his agent been? He hasn't been on I guess nobody to hype up, so he's been kind of quiet.
He has a look that he looks like he has mob ties. I don't want to say anything. But
come on. No. That's a guy that looks like he wants to go to the next parade is what he wants to do. There's a difference.
Which parade?
Whatever one. I don't know. Pick one.
San Gennaro?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Any one of them. Any one of the parades. You can get a Zapala. He's there.
Yeah, he beat it. I think he was at the fest last year. I think he was.
I'm pretty positive he was.
I think he was.
He might have been Grand Marshal, JR. You don't know.
He might have been, yeah. Shout outs to, man. Does that even exist in the same way? for anybody not familiar, it's a giant Italian festival. What is it, like October, September in New York, Little Italy?
Yeah, I think there's a couple a year, though. But it's not just Little Italy. There's one in Little Italy. There's definitely one in Jersey. I think they still do. Yeah. Wherever you get a big enough Italian population.
Well, I know the one in New York City, I feel like it's just been crunched over the years. You know, I just feel like it's smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So I don't know.
True.
Tommy DeVito has to come through and save it, I guess. I don't know.
Well, bring your agent.
Oh, yeah, bring him. Yeah, let him raise the money. I'm sure he could help. That's what he does. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you again to Patricia Traynor for joining us in the last break. And when we come back, you know, let's talk more about Malik Nabers. And he's not the only wide receiver dealing with some issues. This might be his toe. Isaiah Bond, he got a new job with the Browns. And the Browns made him sit down and take a specific test before he signed his contract. And then you got Quinshon Judkins. Ain't no criminal charges coming his way. The Browns still haven't signed him. The Browns just like signing guys with track records. We'll talk about this on the other side. But right now, news update. Here he is, Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Patricia Traynor for joining us in the last break to talk about the New York Giants, courtesy of Sports Illustrated. And now I tell you that this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Are you stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, one thing that we discussed with Patricia outside of this quarterback situation, there's so many interesting quarterback situations in the NFL right now. From the Indianapolis Colts, I'm just waiting. Like, I don't want to say I feel it in my bones. Daniel Jones, I feel, is going to get the start. He's going to get the first crack and opportunity. Anthony Richardson is going to have to hope, not that he's hoping for it. He's gonna have to hope that Daniel Jones goes down with an injury. Like, that's the only way he's getting back into some action. So you have that. Every single issue with the Cleveland Browns and their quarterback. And then you got the Giants, too. Jameis and Russell, these are two dudes who were starters at their peaks on different teams. Then you bring in another guy in Jackson Dart, and there's so many questions. But then we even discussed Malik Nabers and what the hell is going on in Louisiana where they got all these wide receivers. I have no idea, but Louisiana is just wide receiver country, flat and period. And you got Nabers, who's been dealing with a toe issue, you know, since he was back at school, and now he ain't practicing. So if he's not out on the field for the New York Giants, that offense it's toothless. It got nothing. Zero. And then you don't even get information out of Brian Daboll. He's like, injuries? I don't talk about him. I don't know him. Listen to what Brian Daboll said last week. Short and to the point.
Yeah, you know, not going to get into injuries. He's working hard to get back.
Yeah, that's it. Is it his foot? Is it his back? I don't know. We don't know. Why? Because they're not required. Teams are not required to tell you about any of these guys' injuries in the preseason. They don't. Wait until week number one. And so good luck. I don't know what these Giants are going to do. Do I expect them to be the train wreck that is the Cleveland Browns? No. Russell Wilson will tell you good quotes all week. Botcher, I can write out everything that he's going to say all year, and it could probably fit in, you know, five different variations of we're trying, we're getting better, we have to come back next week and try again, well, we've gotten better, I need to do better. It's like five variations of that. He's just the same thing every week.
Professional quarterback speak is all you got to say. It's the same thing over and over. He's been doing this for so long, I don't even know if he wants to think of a new response anymore.
Oh, no. It's just wash, rinse, repeat. What team am I on? What's the catchphrase here? Go big. Is that what he's doing now?
Well, Big Blue is their thing.
Yeah, what is he saying? Do we know what he's saying?
I don't think he has an official one yet.
He needs to stop. Like, he was what do you go 12s or whatever it was in Seattle and let's ride when he got to the Broncos. They rode his ass up on a town out of town. At least Sean Payton did. And then last year with Pittsburgh, I don't know what he said. So look, he's at the end of his. It's kind of crazy. It was only a couple of seasons ago right here on the airwaves. We were having whole entire conversations as to whether or not Russell Wilson is a Hall of Fame QB. I don't think so. When you got to bounce around this much, teams don't want you. You've dealt with the injuries. You're not as mobile as you were. He had an entire, I'd say, 3 years ago, it was just, okay, well, what does the rest of his career look like? When he got to the Broncos, what does the rest of his career look like? And if he could have any type of success moving forward, you could take a look at Russell Wilson and go, you know what? He won a Super Bowl. He's done enough. Now he picked up a positive side on the rest of his career. Put him in a Hall of Fame. I do not see this man as a Hall of Famer. And so here he is alongside Jameis Winston and a rookie QB. Sign me up for the drama. Sign me up for the storylines. Botcher, you think Russell Wilson is a Hall of Famer?
No. Like you said, he basically ruined his case when he got benched and basically forced out of Denver. And then he basically did nothing with a playoff-caliber team in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he started his tenure off with a bad calf, and that allowed Justin Fields to go out there. And then they're just like, well, they just went to the toilet after that. Russell Wilson will be 37. I can't believe this. Damn, I remember watching this dude run around at Wisconsin. He's going to be 37 years old in November. So if Russell Wilson is going to be 37 years old, this means Jameis has to be probably on the other side of Jameis, probably 30 flat. And it's like Jameis is already setting himself up for his next career in media. Yeah, Jameis is, he's 31 years old. Wow. He'll be 32 in January. Boy, this New York Giants are really just going for this. Hey, good luck to Jackson Dart. And good luck to Malik Nabers. We want to see him out there, one of the more exciting wide receivers in the entire game. And speaking of wideouts, Isaiah Bond has finally signed his contract. Last week, we learned that he was cleared of sexual assault. Today, he signs a three-year, $3 million contract with the Browns. A hell of a discount, hell of a deal for a guy who was expected to be one of the top wide receivers selected in the draft until the sexual assault allegations came out. Well, they've been tossed, they've been thrown, and so now he has a job. And then meanwhile, we got Quinshon Judkins. I assumed incorrectly that he would also sign his rookie contract with the Browns, but apparently the Browns don't want to sign him yet until the NFL completes its own investigation. And so it's one thing to have criminal charges where he was accused of punching a female companion in the face. It's one thing to have that tossed out. The NFL is looking into things. And if the NFL, just because the legal system can't get him, whether she doesn't want to cooperate or they took too long or now she doesn't want to be involved, those are all reasons for the legal system to just go, yeah, this, we can't do anything. Like, we can't go any further if she doesn't want to cooperate. There's no evidence. The NFL can figure things out on their own and just go, if they think he did it, or they think he was in a wrong or set things up, the NFL may still suspend him. So Quinshon Judkins still has not signed his rookie contract. Unlike Isaiah Bond, Quinshon Judkins, he was drafted. Isaiah Bond, nobody decided to bring this guy on. Damn it. It's kind of crazy. Kevin Stefanski, he was asked about both of them, Quinshon Judkins and Isaiah Bond. This is what he said.
Hey, Kevin, just seeing if there's any update on Quinshon or Bond, whether you expect to see him in camp this week or.
Yeah, I do not have an update for you guys right this minute. I don't.
Yeah, nothing. It's a typical head coach. Kind of wild stuff. Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, who likes to bring in interesting individuals. Let's put it that way. Deshaun Watson, Isaiah Bond, Quinshon Judkins. It was a couple weeks ago. He was asked about Judkins playing for the Browns. This is what he said.
I do, but that's, you know, we all understand due process of law and the law does not move quickly. But, yes, we're cautiously optimistic.
Have you had any contact with Quinshon in the last month?
No.
Wow. Yeah, and that was 3 weeks ago. And now he's been cleared legally, and he still doesn't have a contract. So I guess they're just waiting to see what the NFL does. Meanwhile, Isaiah Bond, apparently, he signed his contract after the Browns had him take a lie detector test. Is this what we're doing right now? Like, they made him take a lie detector test. Did they do that with Deshaun Watson before they decided to trade and bring him in? I don't think so. Well, maybe the Browns have learned their lesson. Not just Browns are into idiot territory when it comes to football, man. I don't know if Andrew Berry is even going to last through all of this nonsense, because it seems like the owner, Jimmy Haslam, is just doing whatever the hell he wants to do. He's like Jerry Jones without the money and the stupidity. There's still stupid decisions, though. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of stupid decisions, Rob Manfred is getting ready to make some for Major League Baseball. Let's hope not. We know Major League Baseball about to expand and maybe even worse. I'll explain. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.